So today I want to describe a geometric setup which allows us to extract a lot of non-trivial information about five-dimensional supersymmetric quantum field theories. So the way it works is that you have a correspondence between the geometric setup and the physics of the 5D theory. So you use the perturbative data about your five-dimensional theory to translate it to some ingredients in the geometry. And then you apply some geometric consistency conditions to complete it into a full geometry. And now you obtain some extra ingredients into the geometry. And when you translate them back onto the field theory side, you learn some non-perturbative information about your 5D theory. So now you can play around with this perturbative and non-perturbative data that you have obtained to learn non-trivial aspects of about quantum field theories. So throughout this talk, I will be in the world of M theory, compactified on a Calabi-Yau threefold, and we will mainly be interested in the intersection theory of this Calabi-Yau threefold. And then we want to apply this to understand many aspects of five-dimensional n equals to one quantum field theories, with the first being classification of 5D superconformal field theories. Another application would be that you take a gauge theory in five-dimensional, supersymmetric gauge theory, and you can figure out whether or not it UV completes into a five-dimensional SCFT or a six-dimensional SCFT on a circle. On the other side, suppose you're in the case of five-dimensional SCFT and you're sitting at the conformal point, then you can do a mass deformation, and after the mass deformation, your SCFT reduces to the gauge theory. So for example, if you have a SU2 gauge theory in five dimensions with n number of fundamental hypers, then it's known that it UV completes into a five-dimensional superconformal field theory for the values when n is less than or equal to n. If you have 8 flavors, then it UV completes into a six-dimensional SCFT on an S1. This 60 SCFT is also known as the E string. And if you have more flavors, then it's expected that there is no SCFT UV completion. We will also look at enhanced flavor symmetries of five-dimensional SCFTs. So consider, for instance, that you have an SU2 gauge theory in five dimensions with some flavors such that you UV complete into a 5D SCFT. Then you know that you have at least an SO2N global symmetry and times a U1 associated to SU2 to the instanton current. And it's known that SO2N times U1 actually enhances to EN plus 1. So in this sense, you have an enhancement of the flavor symmetry. And in the cases where 5D SCFT does not have a gauge theory description, then you can determine the full flavor symmetry. There's no notion of enhancement. We will also be able to apply this to find dualities between 5D superconformal field theories. So what this means is that you have two different gauge theories, and they UV complete into the same 5D or 60 SCFT. In the other direction, suppose in the 5D SCFT case, you have a space of mass deformations. Choosing one of the mass deformations takes you to one of the gauge theories, and choosing the other mass deformation takes you to the other gauge theory. So here the example I'm showing is that if you take an SP2 gauge theory with some fundamental hypers, then it UV completes into a 5D SCFT as long as n is less than 9. And an SU3 gauge theory with n flavors also UV completes into the same SCFT with a particular choice of Chern-Simons level. For the case of n equals to 10, these two theories UV complete into a 60 SCFT on S1. And the 60 SCFT can be given a more concrete description in terms of a 60 gauge theory if you go on the tensor branch of the 60 SCFT. Then On the tensor branch, it becomes a SP1 gauge theory with 10 fundamental flavors in six dimensions. This is six dimensional gauge theory. A small extension of these dualities allow you to also understand t-dualities between six-dimensional little string theories, supersymmetric little string theories. So a well-known example is the case of 2,0 little string theories, and they are t-dual to 1,1 little string theories. 2,0 little string theories are the world volume theory of NS5 brains in type 2A, and these are 1,1 little string theories are world volume theories of NS5 brains in type 2B, so they are exchanged by t-duality. On the tensor branch, this does not have a gauge theory description, and this is the maximally supersymmetric gauge theory in six dimensions. So, in my talk, I want to first of all describe the geometric setup that we will be studying, and then using some simple examples, I want to illustrate all of these different applications. And I will leave the technical details to the papers if you're interested. So we want to study Calabi-Yau threefolds. M theory compactified on Calabi-Yau threefolds. Here I'm drawing some local region inside a Calabi-Yau threefold. So the lines represent some complex surfaces inside this Calabi-Yau threefold. And then they intersect in some fashion with each other. So such a local region, if you compactify M theory on such a collection of compact complex surfaces, then you obtain a five-dimensional n equals to one abelian gauge theory. And you can go in the other direction as well. So the way it works is that if you compactify the M theory three form on each surface, you get a U1 gauge field in five dimensions. And now, so if you want to obtain a 5D SCFT, the condition you require is that this collection of surfaces be shrinkable to a point. So you want all of the, because they're compact, right? They have some volume. You want to have some point in the moduli space of Calabi-Yau where the whole system can shrink simultaneously to a point. And at that point corresponds to the conformal point of the 5D theory. In this limit, you see that you can go much smaller than the L Planck, so M theory physics decouples. So what it means is that if you want to have a 5D SCFT, if you want this abelian gauge theory to correspond to a 5D SCFT, it requires a certain structure on this collection of complex surfaces. The structure is the shrinkability of these surfaces. So another way you can obtain the, and in that case, the abelian gauge theory comes on the Coulomb branch of the SCFT. Another way to obtain these abelian gauge theories is to go on the Coulomb branch of some non-abelian gauge theory in five dimensions. So there should be some corresponding structure on this collection of surfaces when you have a non-abelian gauge theory. And the structure is that each of the surfaces is a P1 fibration. So let me take, let me call the fibers as Fi for each surface Si. And if you wrap M to brain on these fibers, then you obtain the W bosons for this movement onto the Coulomb branch. Okay, so if we want to study non-abelian gauge theories in five dimensions, we should study a collection of compact complex surfaces such that each of the surfaces is P1 fibered. Such surfaces can be described in terms of Hirzebruch surfaces and their blowups. So the Hirzebruch surfaces are P1 fibrations over P1. So the base is also P1. If you want the base to be some higher genus curve, then you can produce them by self-intersecting the Hirzebruch surfaces. So essentially, the whole theory is about Hirzebruch surfaces and their blowups. So let me take, now we have another P1, which is the base. Let me call it as EI from now on. If you wrap M to brain on this curve, then you obtain an instanton for the non-abelian gauge theory. and its volume is roughly the 1 over g Young-Mills square. Okay, so this non-abelian gauge theory can be completely characterized in terms of a gauge algebra and a representation of the gauge algebra, which describes what hypermultiplets you have. So you should be able to find something in this collection of surfaces which tells you what the gauge algebra and the representation is. So let me first talk about the gauge algebra. So the gauge algebra is captured in terms of a matrix of intersections. This matrix is minus fi dot sj. Because you are in three dimensions, this is a consistent intersection. This is one dimensional and this is two dimensional. And the claim is that this should give you the Cartan matrix for the non-abelian gauge theory. So the reason why this is true is because the surfaces are giving rise to U1 gauge fields. So you can think of them as co-roots. And the roots and the fibers are giving rise to W bosons, so they are valued in roots. And any pairing between roots and co-roots is essentially the Cartan matrix. Okay. Now I want to tell you how the matter is encoded in this. So now you can probably guess, because some curves inside in this Calabi-Yau threefold are roots, so some of the curves would be the weights of the representations. So if you take some curve which is a linear combination of the fibers and the blow-ups, you need blow-ups to produce matter. Let me call that C. Then minus C dot Sj is going to capture Dynkin coefficients for some weights in the representation. So in this way, given such a collection of compact complex surfaces, which is P1 fibered, you can associate to it a five-dimensional n equals to one non-abelian gauge theory. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to understand this sort of intersection theory to understand the 5D physics. And the intersection theory of the Calabi-Yau threefold, because it's constructed out of complex surfaces, reduces to intersection theory of complex surfaces. So let me describe intersection theory of Hirzebruch surfaces. So the base curve EI is going to have some self-intersection, let's call it minus n. The fiber is a fiber, so it's going to have self-intersection zero. And they are going to intersect each other transversely, so E dot F is plus one. And in this case, the surface is called as Hirzebruch surface of degree n, when the self-intersection of EI is minus n. You can add blow-ups to them each. So let XA be different blow-ups parameterized by A. Since they are blow-ups, their self-intersection is minus one. They are independent blow-ups, so they do not intersect with each other, and they do not intersect with E and F because they're independent of them. So if we have a B number of blow-ups, I'm going to denote the corresponding Hirzebruch surface by a superscript B. And then you can write a general curve inside the Calabi-Yau as some alpha times C plus beta F minus some blow-ups, or some blow-up minus some blow-ups. So this was the story about just a single Hirzebruch surface. And now we want to discuss the intersections of Hirzebruch surface. So here I'm drawing a cartoon where I have two Hirzebruch surfaces, S1 and S2, which are intersecting transversely along a curve, along a complex curve. Let this curve be C, then you can see that if you restrict C to S1, then you obtain some curve C1 inside S1. If you restrict C to S2, you obtain some curve C2 inside S2. So this intersection is essentially saying that you are taking the curve C1 inside S1 and C2 inside S2, and you're gluing them. So for this gluing to be consistent, the genus of C1 and C2 should be same. Let's call it G. And then for the ambient space to remain Calabi-Yau, you need an important condition which states that the sum of self-intersections of C1 and C2 in their respective surfaces should be 2g minus 2. So that's all the intersection theory knowledge we need. Now we can already start producing some results. Okay, so let me construct a simple geometry where I take two surfaces F2 and F0 and then I glue them such that the E curve of F2 glues to the E curve of F0. Notice that the Calabi-Yau condition is satisfied because the self-intersection of this is minus 2 and this is plus 0, so the sum is minus 2 and E is a P1, so genus is 0. So this is a consistent geometry. And now we want to see what is the gauge theory corresponding to it. So we want to compute this matrix of minus Fi dot Sj. So the first thing we want to do is to look at the diagonal entry, which is Fi dot Si. This intersection number is always Fi times the canonical class of the surface, which using adjunction formula can be written in terms of the genus of Fi and the self-intersection of Fi. You compute it, you find minus 2. So the diagonal entries of this matrix are always going to be plus 2, as it should be for a Cartan matrix. Now we want to compute the off-diagonal entries. So let's say you have the fiber in this surface and you want to find how many times it intersects this surface. Let's call the first fiber and the second surface. Now since the second surface intersects the first surface only along the curve E, the intersection of the first fiber with the second surface is going to be the intersection of first fiber with this curve E, which we know to be plus 1. So we find that the off-diagonal entry is minus 1 and same on the other side, it's minus 1. This is the Cartan matrix for an SU3 gauge theory. And since we have no blow-ups, it's a pure gauge theory. There is no matter content. There is a Chern-Simons level also attached to this geometry, which is minus 1, but I won't go into the details. This can be, the Chern-Simons level can be obtained using the prepotential of the theory, which can be computed in terms of the triple intersections of the surfaces, and this also reduces to the intersection theory of complex surfaces. So the whole data so far can be described in terms of the intersection theory of Hirzebruch surfaces. Okay, so now let's look at some slightly more complicated example where I'm taking two surfaces, F0 and F6, and I'm gluing them such that 2E plus F inside F0 is glued to E inside F6. So you can compute the self-intersection of 2E plus F, it's plus 4. Is consistent to glue it to a minus 6 curve. And now you compute the associated Cartan matrix. The diagonal entries are again 2. On this side, again, you have minus 1 of diagonal entry. But on this side, the fiber is going to intersect 2 times the E curve. So it's going to create an off diagonal entry of minus 2. And now this corresponds to SP2. This is the Cartan matrix of SP2 Dinkin diagram. Since you have no blow-ups, you have a pure SP2 gauge theory. Okay, now you can do something interesting to this geometry. Here we have a surface F0, and F0, the E curve has self-intersection 0. So it's another P1 fiber. That means the geometry is actually a trivial fibration P1 times P1. And now you can exchange E and F. You can decide I want to call the other P1 as the fiber. This is simply an isomorphism of the geometry, but it changes the Cartan matrix. So after exchanging E and F, you obtain the new geometry, which now has the Cartan matrix because there's only a single E. It has a Cartan matrix of SU3. It's a pure gauge theory, and the Chern-Simons level can be computed to be minus 5. So what does it mean? It means that you have the same geometry. Depending on how you choose your P1 fibrations inside the geometry, you find two different gauge theory descriptions of the same geometry. That is, these two gauge theories must be dual to each other. So what we find is that pure SP2 should be the same as pure SU3 at Chern-Simons level minus 5. This is one of the dualities I mentioned in the starting. But that had some matter content as well. Can we reproduce the duality which has matter content in it? So to do that, I need to tell you how to add matter to the geometries. So let's consider this same geometry and add n blowups on F6. So what this does is that you have to look at each blowup and you compute its intersection numbers with the surfaces. You find that this corresponds to the highest weight of a fundamental of SP2. So each blowup gives you a fundamental of SP2. N blowups give you n fundamentals of SP2. And as far as the duality is concerned, duality is only happening along this surface. So this operation goes through. And you find that SP2 with n flavors is the same as SU3 with n flavors with some Chern-Simons level up for SU3. So you find this duality. So far I'm not talking about shrinkability. So we are finding all sorts of dualities between 5DS CFT, 6DS CFT, or even more general theories. So we have seen so far that this geometric setup is very general. It allows you to form any kind of gauge theory. At the first step, what you do is you first form a pure gauge theory for which you just need to get a Cartan matrix right. We saw that we can get SU3, SP2, you can even get G2 or F4, E6, anything you want. Then if you want to add matter, you just see what is the highest weight of that representation, and then you simply add a blow up and the corresponding Heisenberg surface. So in this way, you can construct any gauge theory you want. And now you want to see what are the dualities for this gauge theory. So you can apply various sorts of isomorphisms. Another operation you can do in a more general case is you can flop these blowups. So you can contract these blowups, they will appear as some other kind of blowups in a more under more complicated geometry. Then you can apply the isomorphisms and the flops, and you can have some sequence of them, such that ultimately, if you started with some Cartan matrix Aij, you get a new Cartan matrix A prime Aij, and the blowups were forming some weights W. Now they are going to form some other weights W prime of the new gauge algebra. At the end, you have a duality between the starting gauge theory and the ending gauge theory. So this is the duality that we just talked about. So it's written over here that for n less than or equal to 9, UV completes to a 5DS CFT. And for n equals to 10, something special happens. It UV completes to a 6DS CFT on S1. So let's use our geometry for n equals to 10 and see, can we find something special about this geometry? Right. So this is the geometry for n equals to 10. So now I can instead write the second surface in terms of F0 with 10 blowups. If I use the curve E plus 2F minus summation XI instead of the E curve of F6. So as a consistency check, you can check that the self-intersection of this is actually going to be the self-intersection of this, which is plus 4. And each blowup is going to give you a minus 1. So you get minus 10. 4 minus 10, so it's minus 6 indeed. That is, this curve has minus 6, this curve also has minus 6, nothing has changed so far. Okay, and now you can apply the exchange E and F, because this is an F0. You obtain this geometry. Now what is the Cartan matrix for this geometry? Notice that this has 2E and there is 2E on this side as well. So both the diagonal entries are minus 2. This is the Cartan matrix of affine SU2, with the Dinkin diagram is this. And for affine gauge algebras, I'm going to put a superscript 1 on top of them. Now, this is interesting because you know that this cannot be a gauge theory. For gauge theories are classified by finitely algebras. Otherwise, the kinetic matrix is not well defined. And this does not satisfy the condition. It's an affine gauge theory. So what this means is that there should not be any origin of the Coulomb branch in the moduli space. You should not be able to go to an affine SU2 gauge theory. You should be able to go to an SU2. You should be able to contract this, the fiber for this to get to an SU2, or the fiber of this to get to an SU2, but not both of them simultaneously to get to an affine SU2. So you can see already that the shrinkability is somehow getting violated, and this should not be a 5DS CFT. Let's see it more mathematically. If you look at the fiber here and the fiber here, then I'm choosing one of the fibers, and they intersect each other in this fashion at two points. This is a familiar diagram for Kodaira I2 fiber. That is, you take a T2, and you pinch it at two points, two different points. Pinch the same cycle. So what this reveals to you is that you have T2 fibration on your Calabi-Yau threefold, which at the location of these surfaces pinches to an I2 singularity. So your Calabi-Yau threefold is actually elliptically fibered. And there's a theorem due to Grawert, which guarantees that when you have such a T2, you should not have a shrinkability should be violated. So you do not have a 5DS CFT. Indeed.
So what is the physical meaning of affine SU2 in terms of CFT theory? Does it capture some symmetry?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. It's a gauge symmetry of the CFT theory. Right, so the claim here is that this is actually a 6D SU2 gauge theory, compactified on a circle. And when you view it from the five-dimensional point of view, you see an affine SU2 symmetry. Yeah. So we have an elliptic fibration, that is our Calabi-Yau threefold is fibered over some base B. Now, I want to tell you what the shrinkability criteria are. So if B is shrinkable, the whole Calabi-Yau 3 is not shrinkable. As we have seen, T2 cannot be shrunk, but the base can be shrunk sometimes. And whenever B is shrinkable, you get a 60S CFT on a circle of radius R, such that 1 over R can be identified as the volume of the T2 fiber. The affine gauge algebra in this case becomes is indicating to you that you have a 60 gauge theory on circle, and these 60 gauge theories can arise on the tensor branch of 60S CFTs. So this is the connection that if you have 60 gauge theory on a circle, you are going to obtain an affine gauge algebra, and if the base of this you obtain a fibration by some Kodaira singularity. By some Kodaira fiber, and if the base of this fibration is shrinkable, you have a 60S CFT, otherwise you do not. So what we found just on the previous slide was that SP2 with 10 flavors is dual to 5D SU3 at Chan Simons level 0 plus 10 flavors, and these two are dual to, or they descend from 6-dimensional SP1 gauge theory, SU2 gauge theory, which carries 10 fundamentals in 6 dimensions, and it turns out that it's an SCFT, but I'm not going to get into the details of that. Okay. So what we have seen in the starting, when we discussed the duality between SU3 and SP2, we saw that by applying isomorphisms, we could go from a finite Lie algebra to a finite Lie algebra. And this case corresponds to a duality of 5D gauge theories. Then we recently just saw that you could go from a finite Lie algebra to an affine Lie algebra. This means that the 5D gauge theory on this side descends from a 6D gauge theory on S1, whose gauge group is captured by this affine Lie algebra. And now there's a third possibility, you can extend it. So suppose you start with an affine Lie algebra, and applying some isomorphisms, you obtain another affine Lie algebra. So what this means is that you have two 6-dimensional gauge theories compactified on S1, And after compactifying them on S1, they become dual to each other. So there is a T-duality between them. Now, such 6-T theories can arise on the tensor branch of six-dimensional little string theories. And if they have T-duality, you expect them to be always be a little string theory. It turns out to be true in all examples. But it's some sort of a theorem. I don't have a proof why such a 6-T gauge theory should always come from a 6-T little string theory. Okay, so far we have discussed So we have discussed about dualities and T-dualities, and in an indirect way we have also discussed when do 5-T gauge theories can lift to six-dimensional gauge theories. Now I want to focus on the first point, the classification of 5-T as CFT. So I want to start talking about shrinkability criteria. Okay, so in general, shrinkability can be formulated in terms of some positivity conditions on the intersection theory of Calabi threefold. So if you want, if you're interested in classifying 5-T as CFTs, one thing you can do is you manually search for, you construct some geometries and check whether the intersection theory is shrinkable or not, is positive or not. You can manually search for it. This is one algorithm, but it's very complex. There is another algorithm, a smarter algorithm, which requires some assumptions, some unjustified assumptions, and it asks you to use F-theory classification of 6-T as CFTs. This algorithm is easier to implement. So let me first describe it, and then I will describe how much does it fail to capture the full classification. Okay, so the F-theory classification is some set of 6-T as CFTs. And the classification naturally includes for you the data of the tensor branch of the 6-T as CFTs. On the tensor branch, you obtain some six-dimensional gauge theory. So you get some six-dimensional gauge algebras and some matter content. And now you put them on a circle. As we have just discussed, you can now convert the data of a six-dimensional gauge algebra and matter content into the data of some elliptically fibered Calabi threefold. This elliptically fibered Calabi threefold has intersection matrix of an affine gauge algebra. And now we want to treat them as some sort of parent Calabi threefolds. And as we discussed, the T2 is not shrinkable in these cases. So these are sitting at the edge of shrinkability. The whole Calabi threefold is sitting at the edge. Okay, so now the culprit was a T2. So we want to remove some pieces out of T2. And we saw that the T2 has a singularity, so it degenerates into some bunches of P1s. So essentially, we want to remove some P1s out of this T2. We can do that by blowing down this Calabi threefold. This is again an operation which can be done purely in terms of the intersection theory of the Calabi threefold. And this destroys the T2 fibration. So it destroys the culprit to shrinkability. And you obtain lots of descendant Calabi threefolds. For each parent Calabi threefolds, you can perform blowdowns in various ways and obtain multiple descendant Calabi threefolds. And each of them is guaranteed to be shrinkable. So these descendant Calabi threefolds give you 5-T as CFTs. So through this algorithm, we have constructed a huge class of 5-T as CFTs, which are classified as descendants of 6-T as CFTs. The natural question to ask is this classification complete? Are these all the Calabi threefolds which are shrinkable? And the answer is no. One example, one counterexample, is the five-dimensional gauge theory F4 plus with three flavors. This can be shown to satisfy shrinkability. So it's a 5-T as CFT. And the question is, does it come from the blowdown of something? of some Calabi-Yau threefold. So in the inverse direction, we are asking, can I blow up this the Calabi-Yau threefold for this gauge theory? If once I blow it up, does it remain shrinkable or on the edge of shrinkability? So when you blow it up, we just saw that when you blow up a Calabi-Yau threefold of a gauge theory, you just introduce some hyper in some representation. So you get a gauge theory F4 with three flavors and some hyper in a representation R. And it's known that no such gauge theory leads to a shrinkable Calabi-Yau threefold. So this Calabi-Yau threefold does not end up in the classification that we just constructed. However, it can still be constructed from an elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold. And the construction is as follows. You take the six-dimensional SCFT, whose tensor branch is described by six-dimensional gauge theory with F4 gauge algebra and three fundamental flavors. This F4 is different from this F4. This is a six-dimensional one. So I'm putting a superscript 1. In the geometry, you will have an affine gauge algebra, affine F4. Then by doing some manipulations, you can show that this is actually equal to gauging an SU2 instanton symmetry of the 5D gauge theory F4 plus 3F. And now you can simply decouple the SU2 instanton to get to F4 plus 3F. So we have seen two kinds of ways to produce 5D SCFT so far. The first one, which gives a huge class, are the blowdowns of elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefolds. The second one involves some sort of decoupling. And they give you some handful of examples. Blowdown can be thought of as removing a curve from the Calabi-Yau threefold. So wrapping an M2 brain on a curve gives you a BPS particle. So this can be thought of as integrating out a BPS particle from a 5D theory. Decoupling is actually removing a surface from a Calabi-Yau threefold. So here it was the surface corresponding to the SU2. And so M5 brains wrapping a surface give you BPS strings in the 5D theory. So this can be thought of as integrating out a BPS string. So now there is a conjecture for the classification of 5D SCFTs. The conjecture says that you take 60 SCFTs from the F3 classification, you put them on a circle, and then you can integrate out BPS particles and strings from it and obtain 5D SCFTs. So I should mention that when you are integrating out BPS particles, you always get a 5D SCFT, but when you are integrating out BPS strings, you might obtain a 60 SCFT again. But you always obtain a UV complete theory. Mathematically, this says that from elliptically fibered Calabi-Yau threefold with a shrinkable base, you can remove curves and surfaces in all sorts of fashion to obtain shrinkable Calabi-Yau threefolds. There is no known counterexample to this conjecture. And what is the evidence for this conjecture? So there is a set of five-dimensional gauge theories which has been classified. This contains simple gauge groups, and they satisfy some necessary criteria required for the gauge theory to lift to a 5D or a 6D SCFT. Now, these theories can be divided into three further subsets. The first one is that they are known to be shrinkable. And whenever they are known to be shrinkable, they are inside the above classification. Most of them come from removing BPS particles, and some handful of them, four or five of them, come from removing BPS strings. Then the second set are the set of theories which are known to be non-shrinkable. And they, of course, do not come inside this classification, which is because this classification only produces consistent theories. And then there is a small set of theories which can be counted on fingers, for which it's not known whether they're shrinkable or non-shrinkable. So it's consistent so far. Okay, so if this conjecture is true, It means that the 5D SCFTs can actually be divided into two classes. In the first class are the theories which come from 60 SCFTs by removing BPS particles only. And in the second class are theories which come from removing BPS strings and BPS particles. The first case is like the general case of a classification, and the second case is like the exceptional case, a few outlying exceptions. Okay, so now I've discussed the first, second, fourth, and fifth points of my applications. And now I want to move on to the enhanced flavor symmetries. And the application to enhanced flavor symmetry works only for the case one, which come from removing BPS particles. So this is a caution. It does not work in the general case. So the idea here is to consider a six-dimensional Kuiper gauge theory, which is an SCFT. So far I only discussed non-Kuiper theories, but the Kuiper theories are a simple extension of that. When you put them on a circle, you obtain a Calabi-Yau threefold, in which a part of the Calabi-Yau threefold describes a fine gauge algebra based on G1, and another part describes a fine gauge algebra based on G2, such that these two parts are intersecting with each other in some consistent fashion. So this is what I'm saying geometrically. You have some set of Hilzebruch surfaces whose intersection matrix describes G1, some set of Hilzebruch surfaces whose intersection matrix describes G2, and they intersect with each other. So the flavor symmetries can be obtained from such sort of systems by just taking the G Young-Mills for G2 to 0. So you have some G1 with some flavor symmetry G2. And now you're putting it on a circle. And now you expect that your geometry should again have some surfaces describing affine G1. And some surfaces describing affine G2, but now these surfaces are non-compact. The reason they are non-compact is because the E curve was the instanton. So as you turn off the Young-Mills coupling, it expands to infinite size. So the base of these are some non-compact surfaces, which are P1 fibered with a non-compact base. So if you know these sort of systems, if you know how to describe Kuiper gauge theories of six dimensions in a geometric language, you also know how to describe flavor symmetries of six-dimensional theories in a geometric language in terms of some non-compact surfaces. Now, the theories in this class come from 60 SCFTs by doing some blowdowns on this geometry. So you want to do some blowdowns on them, and whatever collection of non-compact surfaces you have tells you what the global symmetry for the 5D SCFT will be. So I want to illustrate this with an example. Consider the 60 SCFT, which is the 60 E string theory. It's known to have an E8 global symmetry. You put it on a circle. As I told you earlier, in the starting of the talk, the E string goes to a 5-dimensional SU2 plus 8 flavors. And the E8 global symmetry is going to go to some affine E8 in the geometry. So the geometry is going to be F1 with 8 blowups, because this describes SU2 with 8 flavors. And now E8 is going to have some non-compact surfaces. A fine E8 is going to have 9 non-compact surfaces, which are intersecting with each other in the form of an affine E8 diagram. And they have a compact curve, which is the fiber. They are all P1 fibered, so they have a fiber. And the non-compact base is being described as E here. So they are glued along the non-compact bases, and they have some compact fibers. Now, the way this couples to the SU2 theory is that the fibers are glued to some curves inside this. The fibers have self-intersection 0, so there are some -2 curves inside this compact geometry. which intersect with each other in the form of an affine EAD diagram. And now you can find them using just simple algebra. So one of them is E minus X1, which glues to this F. Then you have an F minus X1 minus X2, which glues to N4. And then you have X1 minus X2, X2 minus X3, up to X7 minus X8, which glue to the rest of the trunk. So this is a geometry describing SU2 plus 8 flavor with an affine E8 symmetry. And now I want to go to a 5DS CFT, which is SU2 plus 7 flavor. So I want to blow down one of the blow-ups over here. The only consistent choice is to blow down X8. And when you blow down X8, what happens is that this was X7 minus X8, so it just remains to be X7, and you obtain the fiber becomes F minus X over here with a blow up here. This is a flop of X8. It's just some algebraic rules. And so now I want to continue this flop up to infinity. So I want to send the volume of this new blow up to infinity. This is what I want to do. And notice that the volume of X7 should be the volume of the fiber of N0 minus the volume of X, because X7 is glued to F minus X. And I, of course, want to keep the volume of X7 finite. I want to keep this matter contained in my theory. So imposing these two conditions on this equation, you see that the volume of the fiber of N0 goes to infinity, which means that this surface decouples from here after doing this blowdown. N0 decouples. So you're left with the rest of the diagram, which is a E8 diagram. So what do you find? You find that SU2 plus 7 flavor has an E8 symmetry, an enhanced E8 symmetry, a well-known result. So in this way, you can geometrically figure out all sorts of enhanced symmetries for more complicated theories as well. Okay, so I'm nearing the end of my talk. I've only described some simple situations with simple examples. If any of you is interested in more details about any of the applications, I'm leaving some pointers to the literature. So detailed study of Calabi-Yau threefolds associated to 60S CFTs can be found in these three papers. For the classification, if you want to know detailed calculations of flops and blowdowns, then this sort of calculations can be found in this paper. And if you want to know how to integrate out BPS strings from a 60 theory, what is a decoupling, then they can be found in this paper. The dualities between 5D theories are in this paper. And the 5D and 60 SCFT UV completions of the set of theories I was describing, which have been classified, are about to appear tonight in a paper with Gabi Zafrir. For T-duality of little string theories and enhanced flavor symmetries, they will appear soon. So that finishes my talk.
Okay. Example you showed us, you keep more and more points, it stays just like a finite Cartan matrix, then you've got an affine Cartan matrix, and
right.
You've got an affine one.
Yeah.
So that's something about the circle direction.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever get something where you get a twisted?
Yeah, you do. This corresponds to when you put the 60 theory on a circle with a twist by some global symmetry.
Great.
Yeah, by charge conjugation. Then it twists the Cartan matrix.
Any other questions? So I have a very naive general question. So does this geometry point of view helpful in actually computing some physical quantities in a given 5D theory, 60 theory?
What sort of physical quantities?
Say if you compute the partition function or some index, then that can be expressed in terms of some geometric quantities of the corresponding Calabi-Yau.
Not very directly, because these are resolved geometries. And you want to compute this sort of indices, you want to go to you want to have the full superconformal data, so you usually work with some orbifold construction of the theory.
Sure.
And I don't know yet how to connect these resolved geometries with the orbifold constructions.
Questions? Lakshagini.